Chapter number 8 in your Bibles. If you don't have one, should be one right in front of you. Go ahead and pick that one up. Romans chapter number 8. Amen. How many are waiting for the monsoon rains to kick in? Cool it off a little bit. Amen. It kept threatening. You got some? Yeah, we didn't get anything. Oh, we didn't get anything out of them veil, amen, but heat, amen. Okay, Romans 8, we left you off with verse number 2, but I want us to read verses 1 and 2, and then I want us to drop down to verse 28 and 29. So Romans 8, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 together. That's our memory verse for the last several weeks. Then 28 and 29, which has been the crux of what we've been doing here in this lesson. So start with me in Romans chapter 8. We're going to say the reference. And then read the verse here. All right, here we go. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Then come over to 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Father, bless now the instruction time that we have here in Sunday school. Pray that, Lord, not just the adults, but the young folks would also understand Romans 8:28 also works in their lives as well to make them what they need to be. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this promise, of this wonderful promise that all things will eventually work out for good to those that love you. And I pray that you would open our eyes this morning, enlighten us. Lord, we may leave the Sunday school hour a little bit more knowledgeable about God, what you're doing in our lives and what we need to do in response to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Bless now in a marvelous way, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. So my voice is a little raspy this morning, so y'all bear with me. Allergy season coming in, and the rain needs to come and get some allergens out of the air. Amen. But we're in Romans chapter number 8, and the crux of what we've been talking about so far is all things working out for good in your life. By the way, are there certain things in our life that appear to be bad? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just get that out of the way right now. There are certain things in our life that appear to be bad. But does that mean that everything is bad? No. When you ball up the big ball of life, everything is not all bad. Everybody doesn't have a bad day every day, 365 days a year. Amen. Now, you may think that it's not as good as it could be, but it's not as bad as it could be either. Amen. Children, aren't you glad you're only in school 9 months and not 12 months? Amen. It could be worse. You could be in school every day, every day. Amen. Some of y'all are shuddering just to think about that. Oh, amen. That's what Gregory wants. Amen. So when the Bible talks about all things, it's dealing with everything together, working separately to do something in your life that needs to be done, much like the ingredients to a nice cookie, amen? How many of y'all grilled out for Thanksgiving, for 4th of July? Got my mind on Thanksgiving already, amen? You know, all the things that you made, potato salad, it takes something to put in there. Beans, it takes something to make baked beans. You say, well, no, you just open a can. Before it goes in the can, somebody had to mix some stuff in there, amen? You know, everything takes some ingredients to make it what it needs to be. And to eat those ingredients separately may not be too good, amen? But when it all comes together, it is good. Like a nice, good oatmeal raisin cookie, a nice slice of cherry pie, especially it's the one that got the crumbs on top with the brown sugar, and all that's good. Making y'all hungry already, huh? Amen. Even oatmeal. To make oatmeal, now I'm from the old school. My mama used to make us eat oatmeal with nothing in it. And that is awful. It's disgusting. To make oatmeal taste good to me, I had to put in some cinnamon. I had to put in some brown sugar. I had to put in some raisins and a dash of honey. Now I can eat it, amen. The way my mom, she just put it in there and put it and boil it up and put it on there and it looked like a big hump of yuck. Amen. And I said, well, to make this good, I got to add some ingredients in it. So I put that stuff in there and mixed it up. And it had that brownish glow from all the brown sugar. And it had those raisins. I thought, now I can eat this. And then I tear that up. But by itself, it didn't taste too good. Life is the same way. If life was the same way every day, you and I would be some boring people. God's got to keep us humble, and he's got to lift us up by the all things that go on in our life. Amen. Just like adding in that oatmeal, the raisins and the brown sugar and the honey. God's got to sweeten life up for you and I, and sometimes take us through the valleys and then take us on the mountaintop to make it all work out. The one thing we don't like is a valley. Amen. You don't like the valley. By the way, anybody ever been up to the Grand Canyon? Amen. Anybody went down in the canyon? Nobody? Did you know that at the surface of the canyon, it is increasingly cooler than it is in the valley? It's hotter in the valley. Why? It's down lower. A higher elevation, guess what? It gets cooler. And just at the Grand Canyon, from here to there, there's a great variation in temperatures. But guess what? All of that works together for good. Just like in your life, my life, all things work together for good. Notice verse number one. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're born again, you're not condemned by the law. What was the law? The law was the Old Testament commandment that none of us could keep. And he said, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He said, this is the caveat, though. You got to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you're walking after the flesh, will you be condemned to hell? According to that verse, would you be condemned to hell? No, you won't be condemned to hell if you're in Christ, because Christ is not going to hell. If you're in Christ, you're not going to be condemned to hell. Will there be some condemnation, earthly speaking? Yes, you will have to pay some penalties for your sin, same way you have to pay when you get a speeding ticket. Amen. How many of you ever had a speeding ticket? Depending upon, y'all don't yet. I know some of y'all had a speeding ticket, amen. Oftentimes, the faster you go, the more severe the ticket.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you go too fast, guess what? They'll take your license away.
Yes, he will. He will, Pastor.
They'll take your license away, amen. So, Littrell, don't get no ideas. I see you over there thinking about speeding already, amen. So, it varies. But he says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. So if I'm in Christ, I'm free from sin. I'm free from death. I don't have to worry about that penalty. However, if I walk in the flesh, there are going to be some bad things that happen. Why? Sowing and reaping. There's consequences to sin. So when he comes down to verse number 28, and we know that how many things? All things work together for what? For good. There's a caveat with this one, though, to them that love God. We already came up to the conclusion that this verse does not apply to the unsaved. Why doesn't it apply to the unsaved? See? Number one, they don't love God. Number two, they're not born again. And so this verse can't apply to them. The worst, the best thing that they can see is this life. And this life is not that good. The worst that will happen to them is going to be hell. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They're not called to be saved. We are. Then it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his son. So in other words, what he's saying is that everybody that comes to Christ, it's already predetermined that God is going to work on your life to make you look more like Jesus. That's why all things come into play. Amen. How many of y'all found that as soon as you got saved, bad things started happening?
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I got saved February 3rd, 1991. I think our car died February the 4th, 1991.
Oh, my goodness.
We had no way to get to church. It died the first week we got saved. I thought, what in the world's going on with this? I get to work and bad things started happening to my job. I said, wait a minute, I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Christian now. Bad things don't happen to good people like me. Worst things happen to people like me. Why? God is trying to work things out of your life that are in your life. Amen. Parents, what do we spend most of our time doing with our children? Correcting.
Correcting them.
Why? We're trying to get the bad things out. When we get saved, God spends time trying to correct us and corral us and get us to look more like Christ. That's what verse 29 says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or determine beforehand to be conformed or to be fashioned like or to look like the image of his son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that's what God is doing with the all things in your life and in my life. Do we like all things? No. No, we don't like all things. We have to accept all things.
Yes, we do.
Like it or lump it. You're going to get it either way. Amen. So let's get you caught up in your book here. Amen. Roman numeral one in this all things for your good we found was, let me get over there. Amen. His people. His people. Then this verse is not for the unsaved. It's not for the unsaved. And what page is that, Brother Duffy? 60. All right, on page 60. So no, Roman number one, his people. This verse is not for the unsaved. So Romans 8, 28 and 29 is not for the unsaved. Then we found out also, B, this verse is for the saved. It is for the saved. And so we can count this verse in our lives. Then we saw Roman number two, his promise. His promise, if we're saved, we can claim the promise of this verse. Then we found out, there is certainty of its outcome. Bible says, and we know. All things work together for good. Certainty in the outcome. Then B, it may bring a change in its curriculum. We found out that God's going to have to refine us, purify us, and conform us. Amen. Change in its curriculum. Then C, it has conformity as its goal. Conformity as its goal. In other words, God is trying to work some things out. I left you with the story that we read about the guy pushing on the rock. How many remember that?
Yeah.
Amen. It was never God's intent for the man to move the rock, just to push the rock. What did he get as a result of pushing the rock? Strength, muscle. He looked in the mirror and he saw something. So it was never God's intention for him to move it. And I left you with this. Oftentimes, it's not God's intent to move your problems. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes God wants you just to stand your ground. He don't want you to push it out of the way. Why? You need the strength. And so sometimes he just wants you to stand your ground and hold and be firm. It's God's job to move heavy objects out of your way. Not yours. You couldn't do it if you wanted to.
That's right.
Amen. Have you ever tried to lift weights? And you saw a little weight and you went over there like, ha, 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 ha. Then you spied one of them big weights over there. Let me lick this too. And you get over there. You get a spotter. Help me get this one up. You get it up there and they let go. What happens? You crush your chest.
Yes,
some weights are not meant for you to tackle at all. And with this rock, the story goes on that God said, look, I never intended you to move the rock at all. The goal was to push the rock so that you could get stronger, stand your ground. Hey, when it comes to God, when the all things kick in your life and my life, we need to stand our ground. We need to stand our ground. Don't back up. Don't backslide. And sometimes it's not God's intent for you to move that thing out of the way. That's God's job. Which brings us to Roman numeral 3. And I'm going to give you the points here, and then we're going to talk about these here. Roman numeral 3, his purpose. His purpose. That's Roman numeral 3, his purpose. His purpose. Whatever God allows you to go through, you can rest assured that he has a purpose for it. By the way, you may not understand all of what God's doing. I guarantee you, you won't understand all that God's doing. Is it still for your good, even though you don't understand it? Yes. When kids are growing up, they do not understand why parents say no. They don't have a clue. You know when children finally recognize why parents said no? When they grew up and had their own kids.
Yeah.
Amen. And then they say, that's why mom told me no. That's why dad told me no. That's why they told me don't hang out with that crowd. That's why they told me don't go over there with that guy. That's why they told me don't go over with that girl. That's why they told me not to get in that gang. That's why. Hey, we don't understand it at first. When the all things come up of a no, we think, they're just mean. They're just old. They just fuddy duck. They don't understand. They was never young like me. Right. Go over to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Read this verse here. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8. his purpose. Whatever God allows you to go through, you can rest assured that he has a purpose for it. You may not always understand, but you can have faith. God's ways are far greater than what you could ever imagine. Isaiah verse 55. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 8. For my thoughts are not whose thoughts? Your thoughts. By the way, do we have God's thoughts? No. Can we on occasion think like God? On occasion we can if we follow the word of God. We will know certain things that he's trying to do. Other things we may not know. He says, your thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your what? Your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. Do our ways sometimes appear like God's ways? Sometimes. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes we can act really godly. And sometimes we can act real devilish. Amen. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but we can. Notice verse number 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. By the way, that's pretty high. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's God saying that. So when God is working some things out in our life we don't understand, what should we do? Just say, amen, Lord, all things are going to work together for you. By the way, young people, you're in here. When it doesn't go the way you think it should go with your parents, you know what you ought to say? My ways are not your ways. And since God made you my authority, I'm going to obey you. That's what you ought to say. But instead, kids get defiant. You wait till I get out on my own. You wait till I get my own house. Wait. Wait. You wait. My son already told me, I'm going to do this. Joshua said, I'm not going to have any vegetables in my house. All sweets. It's not going to happen. Not eating broccoli. It's not going to happen. And we say, you're not going to be healthy. It ain't going to happen. So when you look at this verse, amen, we have to be convinced that God knows better than us. His ways are higher than us. His purpose is for our good. And once we understand that, his purpose becomes three things. Now, it's going to be your A, B, and C. A, it's going to be our filter. It's going to be our filter. And then B is going to be our focus. And then C, our faith. We'll look at those real quick here. So when we fully are convinced that God knows better than us and that his purpose is for our good, his purpose will be our filter, our focus, and our faith. Let's look at our filter first. How many of y'all drink coffee? I gave you this illustration last week. What do you normally put your coffee into? A coffee pot, right? What do you put the grounds into? Why do we put our coffee grounds in a filter? We don't want the coffee grounds, okay? Now, can you eat coffee grounds? Yeah, you can. I don't suspect you ought to make it a diet. Yeah. See, what you having for breakfast? Coffee grounds. What you going to do? Eat it. That's pretty disgusting. Amen. How many of you ever got the instant coffee and just put a spoonful in your mouth? Doesn't taste good, does it? I was in a rush one morning, and I just got me a spoonful of instant coffee and chucked it in my mouth. That was the last time I ever did that. That was awful. It was full of awe. It was just terrible. Amen. And so, filter, when we are totally committed to God's purpose for our lives, all our plans, dreams, aspirations go through the filter of God's purpose, and it's affecting every decision we make. We are going to be committed to doing his will when we understand the filtering of God's word. Now, by the way, this also applies to unforeseen circumstances. What are some unforeseen circumstances that may happen in our life? Gee, flat tire. Flat tire is back to the old flat tire again. Amen, Joshua. He took yours to flat tire deal. Amen. What are some other unforeseen circumstances that can come up? Tasha? Loss of job? Oh, yeah. What else can come up that's unforeseen? Yeah. Car breaks down. Unforeseen. That's right. What else can be unforeseen that can happen? Well, somebody break in your house. Ms. Dawson? Health issues. Amen. What about you lose your wallet and all your credit cards are in there?
Gosh.
Or more importantly, you lose your phone and everything's on your phone.
Oh, my goodness, Pastor.
Amen.
Oh,
Everything's on your phone. You lose your phone, people got your life.
Yeah.
Amen. What else is an unforeseen circumstance that can happen in our life? Break-ins, breakdowns, health. Yes. Runaway children. That's true. That's true. That's unforeseen. Hey, my mother put me on a 3-month punishment. I thought real hard about running away. I thought, man, 3 months, that's a long time. But if I run away, I'm free forever. Then the thought hit me, until she catches me. My picture going to be on the milk carton. And somebody going to turn me in. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to die. I thought it's best that I stay here. I don't want to be a fugitive on the run. And so I'll just have to go through this 3-month punishment. By the way, let me tell you this, young people, that 3-month punishment was the best thing that ever happened to me. It gave me 3 months to think about my actions, my attitude, and the direction in which I was going. And it was not good. Those 3 months helped me more. I tell my mother to this day, I praise God that she put me on the 3-month punishment. She said it hurt her worse than it hurt me. She'd go to work and cry that I had to be on lockdown for 3 months. I couldn't listen to anything. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't look at anything. Only thing I could do was read books and go to church. I went to church for everything. If they said something at church, Mom, I need to go to church. You go to church. Can I play baseball? With the church. Practice with the church. Food with the church. Sunday school with the church. Hey, you named it. I was at church every time you could turn around. And guess what I heard at church? The word of God. How wicked I was. How wrong I was. How right my mom was. And how good God was. And that I just need to stick it out. And after the 3-month punishment, you'll come out of that all right. What are you saying? And we know that how many things?
All.
Even the 3-month punishment? Yes.
Yes, sir.
All things work together for good. Even 3-month punishment. Unforeseen circumstances, sicknesses, job loss, a mate loss, a spouse dies, a relative has an incident happen, a relationship breaks up. Amen. These are all things that are beyond our control, and we still have to take that filter that we're talking about and run those circumstances through the filter of God and watch the purity come out afterwards from our lives. Do we like those things? No. But we don't like coffee grounds either. And so we all know what it's like to have our plans, but only to have them destroyed by things outside of our control, like unforeseen circumstances. Instead of getting frustrated by things out of our control, you know what we ought to do? This isn't all things. This is a Romans 8:28 moment. God's working this for my good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Amen. And so we can be confident in each circumstance God allows us to come into our lives is ultimately for his purpose to make us look more like Christ. We know that all things work together for good. Again, I don't like bad things any more than you do. Amen. I don't know if anybody likes bad things. Amen. But each thing that God allows to come in is going to go through God's filter. And that is that Romans 8:28 and 29 filter. And the goal is for you and I to be conformed to look more like Jesus Christ. And so that's his filter. Then the second thing we talk about, our focus. Our focus, amen. We've got the filter. Everything that happens in our lives is to conform us to Christ. That's the filter. We shouldn't get discouraged. We shouldn't get upset by the life's events that happen. Although we do. Now, when we get discouraged and we get upset, what should we do? Go to Jesus. Ask for forgiveness and say, okay, Lord, help me accept this all thing. I don't like this particular thing. But I do know that all things are working for good. I don't like this particular thing. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. But I know this thing is for my good. And I've got to be convinced of that. And so when we don't act the way we should, and we know that we're saved, the filter comes in, and we got to bring us right back to Christ. And that dirty water in our lives can be filtered to become clean water. But then our focus. God's purpose to conforming us to Christ becomes our focus. By the way, it's not so much about what you do as it is about what God wants you to become. Say that again. It's not about so much what you do as it is what God wants you to become. We can get so caught up on doing that we forget about the being. Amen. And so life is not about what we achieve, but rather about what we become in Christ. Notice verse number 29 in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 29. Go back over there. All right, Romans 8, 29. And notice what it says again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed. And so as we are doing, God is more important with our being and becoming. By the way, I've got three children. I'm concerned about what they do, but I'm more concerned about what they will become. Because what they do now determines what they become later. And what you and I do now determines what we become later. The goal for God is to have us conform to the image of his son. The goal for the parent is to turn out productive children that are godly and saintly in society that can make a difference. That should be the goal of every parent. Raise up some godly children that can be in society, can be a positive influence on the world that others will see their light. What does Matthew say? Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our focus is not so much about what we achieve, but rather it's about what we become, and we should become more like Christ. It says to be conformed to the image of his son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Becoming Christ-like is our focus. By the way, if you focus on the doing, and you don't focus on the being, you can get tunnel vision. There is a bigger picture. If I'm so focused on what I want to do right now, you miss out what's here, and you miss out what's there because you got your tunnel vision right here. Hey, give you a good illustration. This is true, too. I never got an F in my life. Until I got to college, and I love science. I took organic chemistry. When I got to college, I was doing good. I was on the dean's list my freshman year in college. My sophomore year, man, I was blazing the trail. But then something happened. I met somebody by the name of Carmen Davila. And my focus turned into tunnel vision. I forgot about organic chemistry. I forgot about studying. I forgot about study groups. I forgot about my homework. I forgot about my assignments. And oh, yeah, I got her. But I got an F on my report card, too. And to this day, guess where that F is at? On my report card. If anybody pulls up my college transcript, it says F. And let me help you, young people. F doesn't stand for fine. It doesn't stand for fantastic. It stands for fail. Now, did I get my wife? Yes. My tunnel vision got me the wife. But guess what else got me? An F. What happened? We get so focused on one thing, we get tunnel vision. And our focus has got to be on what Jesus Christ wants for our lives, not what we want for our lives. Now, am I happy that I got my wife? I'm ecstatic. Was I happy when I got that F? No, because I had to take it home, show it to my mom and daddy. And they helped pay for my school. My mom said, what's this? What's what? This grade on your report card. It's not passing grade. How did you manage to get that not passing grade? You know what that stands for? I'm in college, right? Yeah. But do you know what it stands for? Because I never bought one home before. Now, was I the first one in my family to get an F? I don't know. I ain't asked nobody else. Too ashamed. Amen. My mother let me have it. I said, but mom, you don't know this girl. She said, you don't know this grade.
Here you go, Pastor. Here you go.
My wife's dad told her, I didn't send you to college to get a husband. I sent you to get an education. And hopefully she said, but dad, you don't know this boy. You don't know how great he is. You don't know how marvelous he is. And I'm sure her dad would have gave her the same thing my mom gave me. You know what this grade is like? That boy going to help you out in the future? Yes.
Well, yes.
And he has. Amen. So what I'm talking about here, our focus. Our focus cannot be tunnel vision when it comes to the things that God is trying to do. He wants us to be conformed, to become more like Christ. And so our focus has got to be not so on what we're doing, but what God is wanting us to become. And so everything's got to go through the filter so that we can understand our focus down the road is what God is trying to get. And then we can take all the things into our lives and say it's all going to work out for good. Now, did the F work out for good? Yes, it did. I want my kids. God, I want them to get an F. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about y'all. Because if they get an F, same thing happened to me, what happened to them? You say, what happened to you? I didn't tell you the rest of the story. And get an F and you'll find out. Amen. All right, focus B. C, our faith. So we understand his purpose. His purpose. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. As the heavens are higher, his ways are higher than ours, his thoughts than our thoughts. And so everything has to be filtered through the filtering process of God, even the unforeseen things. Our focus, everything has got to be about what God is trying to do in our lives for the long run. That's to conform us to the image of Christ. Then our faith, Christ becomes our faith. We're putting our trust in God's purposes for our lives to do what he said he's going to do. And we've got to have faith that Romans 8, 28 and 29 is actually going to work for us. By the way, God is not trying to kill you. Bad things happen. We think, oh, God's just trying to kill me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. If he did, he wouldn't let this happen. Trust me, I said the same thing. I said, Lord, I got to be on punishment for 3 months. I can't watch TV. I can't listen to any music. I can only be up in my room. And they just don't know what this is like. Hey, they could have starved me too.
Yes, sir.
And gave me the bread of affliction, bread and water. And they could have isolated me and said, you're not having any dealings with anybody. I remember my little friends would call and I would hear my mom downstairs. I'm sorry, Greg's on a 3 month punishment. I'm thinking, ah. Oh,
man.
And you know what months I was on punishment? June, July, and August. And guess what I had to hear when I came to the first day of school? Where you been? Heard you was on lockdown this summer. Your mom told me you was on punishment. How did it feel? Man, I felt that big going back to school. Hey, jailbird. I heard all kinds of stuff when I went back to school. I called Gerald. Your mom told me, what in the world did you do that you was on punishment for 3 months? Stole the car. You should have been in jail then. Boy, you got off easy. Hey, 3 months was a long time. But guess what? It did its job. And so our faith, we have to believe that all things do work together for good. I needed that 3 months in my life so that God could make something in my life stick. And being on a three-month punishment gives you a lot of time to think and to pray and to contemplate the direction your life is going into. I was a 15-year-old boy. I didn't even have driver's license, and I took the car. And I began to think about all the things that possibly could have happened. I could have run into somebody. I could have crashed the car. I could have killed somebody. Many, many different things that I thought about, scenarios. Having no license, having no training, 15 years old, driving a car, and had friends in the car with me. And all of us could have been killed. I didn't think of the severity that was in that. But my mother began to put me on that punishment to help me to understand that this is going to ultimately work out for your good. You don't like it, I don't like it. It's going to work out. You know one thing that my mother did not have? She did not have the punishment police. I was at home by myself. My sisters would go. My dad was at work. My mom was at work. She had no way of finding out what I was doing at home. I had so much of the fear of mom in me, I refused to do anything. I said, I bet she got neighbors watching the house. I said, I bet she got this house bugged. She got it tapped. She got a camera around here somewhere. I just know it. And every time I got tempted, I thought, I know that's probably a camera. That's okay. She got the neighbors looking in the windows, trying to close the shade. I know somebody's watching me. You know who's watching me? God. God was watching me. And the conviction of what she had said set into my heart. Why? All things worked together for good. By the way, when it comes to Christ's purpose in our lives, our faith has got to be trusting God to work everything out, and there is no need to be discouraged. When we battle discouragement, heartaches, or headaches, or depression, we need to turn right back over to Romans 8:28 and say, you know what? This is an all thing. It's working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And God, I know that you're working in my life. And I don't understand this, but your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than mine. But I'm going to let you run this through your filter. I'm going to focus on what I need to become down the road. And I'm going to have faith that this is going to work out. By the way, young people, your life is ahead of you. And you have your parents to thank for what they're trying to do in your lives. You might not like what they do, but guess what's going to make you better? Did I like everything my parents did? Nope. Did I like most things my parents did? Yeah, I liked most things. There's only a few things I didn't like. But I come to find out those things were necessary to make me who I needed to be. And so we need to always turn to Romans 8:28 and 29 and apply it to our lives. There's a story that I'm going to read to you here in closing. Because it may be a time that you feel lonely, a trial that you're going through. You may feel defeated or forsaken. God wants you to take that hardship, that forsakenness that you feel, that defeat that you feel, that loneliness, that trial, whatever it is, stick it in his filter of Romans 8:28 and find the focus that you need to have on Christ and what he's trying to do. And then have faith that it's going to work out down the road, because that's the promise that he gives you. And that's the promise that we can stand on. He's allowing it for your ultimate purpose. And I think I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again. About David. The Lord blessed David in so many ways, but that blessing did not mean that the shepherd boy was anointed to be king over Israel, who had an easy life. David spent much of his life on the fields of battle. There were many days when he did not know whether he would even survive until sundown. There were many nights where he slept in caves while hiding from those who wanted him dead. Throughout all of his dark days, David continued to trust in God. He knew that the hard times he endured did not mean that God had forsaken him. By the way, when we go through hard times, it doesn't mean that God's forsaken us. Not at all. By the way, the same way when you go through hardships as a child, doesn't mean your parents have forsaken you. You're going to have to go through some hardships. Sometimes others even use David's troubles to claim that God had abandoned him. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, Psalm 3:2. Yet David's faith remains steadfast. God does not always cause our troubles to disappear, but he always comforts those who flee to him for help. Let me read that again. God does not always cause our troubles to disappear, but he always comforts those who flee to him for help. And it is often the very things that bring us the most grief and turmoil that God uses to shape our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, great hearts can only be made by great troubles. Great hearts can only be made by great troubles. Some of the greatest people that you hear about in the news have gone through some of the greatest trouble. Some of the greatest pain, some of the greatest hardship. Some of the greatest inventors, they didn't just come out and invent right away. They had to go through a lot of trial and error and hardships. Our goal is to trust God just as much when we're struggling with difficulty as we are when we are rejoicing in his peace. Why? It's working for our good. And we know that all things work together for good. That's the promise. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever it is that you may be facing, God has handpicked that circumstance for you. Think about that. Whatever you're facing right now, God has handpicked that for you. And only you. What Mrs. Dawson is going through, God picked that for her. What Braswell is going through, God picked that for him. What Joshua is going through, God picked that for Joshua. What Brother Duffy's going through, God picked that for Brother Duffy. Why? Each thing that you and I are facing right now wasn't meant for somebody else. It was meant for you. By loving God. The same way my mother put me on a 3-month punishment was for me. It wasn't for my three sisters. It wasn't for my daddy. Guess who it was for? It was for me. Who did it make better in the long run? Me. Who got a chance to reflect on that and respond to that? Me. Who came out the better person? Me. You know why? Because it was handpicked for me. My mother knew exactly what would work on me. Now, the same thing that worked on me, maybe not, wouldn't work on my sisters. But my mother knew me. And the same thing that got his hand picked for you, he knows you. And so he knows what will work on you. And so he's putting you through this trial, this test, this goal to help you to be more like Christ. And it's going to have to go through the filter of Romans 8, 28. It's going to have to go through the focus of Romans 8, 28 and 29. And it's going to be have to be by faith that you trust this process. Does that mean we like all things? No. But we have to be convinced that God is doing this for your good and his glory. Amen. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture for memory for next week. And it's going to be Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. It's going to be your memory verse. And I hope you ponder this verse this week. As you're going through your trials, as you're going through your tests, as you're going through that which you're facing, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows exactly where he wants you to be. And I hope that as you're going through what you're going through, you allow the filter to work. Keep your focus that it's going to be making you more like Christ. And keep faith that God has not abandoned you or forsaken you. He knows what he has given to you. And he didn't give it to someone else. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. Going through this lesson, I've been more and more reminded of what's going on in my life. God is doing something in my life that I don't see now, but I'll see later. And young people, I don't care what goes on in your life. You have to be convinced that God is using that in your life for your good. You may not like it, but you got to be convinced, young people, by faith that God knows what you need. And he's going to give you what you need. And including your parents. Amen. Your parents want what's good for you, not what's bad. Let's trust God's purpose here. Jeremiah 29:11. Father, thank you so much for this study. Romans 8:28-29. Lord, help us to leave here convinced that we know that all things work together for good. For them that love God, to them are called according to your purpose. Lord, help us to allow the filter of Romans 8:29-29 to work the impurities out of our lives. And then, Lord, help us to focus not on what is going on so much right now, but what you're trying to do in the long run. And get us out of tunnel vision, but see what you're wanting to happen. And then God, help us to believe it by faith that you, Lord, know what you want to do in our lives. Help us to leave here, Lord, with this memory verse, Romans 8:28-29 on our hearts, and then Jeremiah 29:11, know your thoughts are not the same as our thoughts, but you have thoughts of peace toward us. Lord, help us to tackle everything that comes our way with the power of God. Some things you want us just push, but not move. And God, help us to discern what we need to do, how we can navigate in this life. Bless now refreshments that we have next door and all of our loved ones that are traveling and those that are sick and down ill today, and raise them back up, bring them back together with us in the near future. Lord, bless now in the next hour, and the Lord bless the refreshments, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Jeremiah 29:11 is your verse. Children, don't forget snacks and liquids. Stay across the hallway. Amen. You are dismissed.